And all they find in so often is just another crib, another playpen. Or occasionally, as I mentioned last night, they run into a church where there's a bunch of adolescent believers and they're loved one moment and abused the next. That's the way teenagers are. We had teenage girls, and those girls sometimes, they love little kids, love being around little kids. And then the next moment they would say, get that kid out of here. I don't want to see that kid. That kid's getting on my nerves, and on. Jekyll and Hyde. That's kind of the way some teenagers are. Spiritually, by the way, that adolescent stage is also like that, and we're going to get into that in a moment. But before we do, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's just spend a moment again with the younger believer, the little child. and I mentioned to you last night how this concept of the little child being under rules and regulations, and you know that. You know that when it comes to bringing a child up, that little child in the physical realm, in the emotional realm, they need the boundaries, they need the fences. And you begin to expand those, don't you, as parents. First thing you do is you make a playpen. It kind of looks like a jail. You know, child, you can play within the playpen. And there they are, and they're taking their cup and wrapping it on the bars and everything else. Let me out of here. They want to get out. So pretty soon, it's like, okay, you can play in the house. Don't you remember, by the way, when you were so excited about your children taking their first steps? We have a lot of families up at Southwood that are like 30th, and they have a lot of little kids. We have babies being born all the time. And you get to see those babies grow up, and pretty soon the baby is taking its first step. And we have an auditorium that is kind of like a throughway. You come in the back, but there's doors there leading to the fellowship hall, and doors there, and so everybody kind of goes through the auditorium. And I walk in there, and I remember not too long ago, some of you know Dan and Mike McKay, and their little baby Stephanie started to walk. And I always say that when those little babies start to walk, they remind me of drunken sailors. You know, and they walk and everything else. And I remember I walked by Jan, and I said, Jan, you guys, I said, you're in trouble now. Oh, look at her, she's so cute, she's walking. I said, yeah, I said, you stay cute now, I'll talk to you in a month. She came up to me in a month and said, I wish Stephanie had never learned how to walk. You know, everything has to go up higher. We have to watch her all the time. You know, we're afraid she's going to bump her head into some dark corner of the table. But you want them to do that. And then you get through those stages. So you see, things continue to expand. So pretty soon they can play inside the house. And then they can play inside the backyard. And then they can play inside, you know, out in the front yard. And then they can play in the neighborhood. And then when they get a little bit older, well, then you can play even beyond that. You can ride your bike over to the park, but only at certain times, you know, only certain ways. And so you continue to expand the liberties that these little children have. We do that. We understand that so well physically. Well, people understand also that's the way God works with us spiritually. And that is why with a little child, he is going to look into the Word of God. And I believe God, the Holy Spirit, does this so well. As a young child, as a spiritually immature person, looks into the Word of God, they're going to see a lot of rules and regulation. Indeed, they're going to even see what we would call law. They're going to see the restrictions. But that doesn't mean they stay there. It means God can move them through that stage very quickly and move them on to adolescence and then on to even greater grace. Now, I want to also warn you about something, that every time you make a transition in one of these stages, whether it is from being a child to being an adolescent to being a mature believer, right here, right at these points, right here, you have some very critical stages, because all of a sudden the individual is getting confronted with more grace. And if we have time in our study, either later this evening or tomorrow night, I'm going to mention to you and kind of explain to you a little bit about why grace could be the most frightening thing that you could ever face. Grace can be really scary, because you see, grace is not law. Grace is not rigid. And grace depends upon a person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you move into greater grace, and I believe especially at this point right here, I think I've seen it in the lives of people I've known. They begin to move into that stage, that stage where they are being confronted with the maximum liberty, the maximum freedom that God wants them to have, to be able to exercise this liberty and this freedom in a way that they are going to glorify God, like man on the face of the earth has rarely ever been able to glorify God before. to be able to live a life that is truly dependent upon all that God does and all that God provides by faith, by faith, by faith in everything that they do. And they get to that and they begin to approach that and they're frightened of it. They're afraid of it. They want to go back to the rigidity. And sometimes they revert all the way back to here where you have, where you do have law, you have rules. They won't want to play any play. They'll go all the way back to the playpen. And I've seen that happen with people. And they had such a tremendous opportunity to move ahead. And yet, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the grace. Well, here in Galatians chapter 5, we see an illustration. Paul gives us an illustration of how this works.
Let's appreciate what we have.
That's people. That's a rare breed God is looking for. A breed that will worship in spirit and in truth. Note what is lacking in Sychar. Note what is lacking in this incident. No law, no miracles, no wonders. It's a picture of the church. They don't need wonders. They don't need signs. It's the Word. The Gospel. People, the decadence of the church today can be seen not in sin. I know that's where most preachers and most Christians get upset. But the decadence of the church is seen not in its sin, but in its insistence on law,